Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 60. It's July 22nd, 2020. In 2007, Shandling released not just the best of The Larry Sanders Show, a curated collection of favorite episodes that fans had been awaiting for years. For their patience, they were rewarded with something far more interesting than the normal box set, a series of unscripted, one-on-one conversations between Shandling and some of the big names who had appeared on the show. Sharon Stone, Carol Burnett, Jerry Seinfeld, Jon Stewart, Tom Petty. The idea that motivated these DVD extras was at once simple and complex. Shandling was trying to walk his talk, to coexist with people who meant something to him, and to make room for something, anything, even nothing, to happen. The truth is in the emptiness, he likes to say. So he set up a camera and let a little emptiness in. He spent a full year producing the visits, as he calls them, consumed by the idea that the DVD extra form, usually so canned and predictable, could be something vastly more ambitious. Some of his friends worried about him. He went so deep into the project. Then they saw the results. Together, these sit-downs, which at Baron Cohen's suggestion Shandling labeled indulgent visits with my friends that are meant only for me to see, comprise the rawest, oddest, most genuine moments you may ever see famous people subject themselves to on camera. One of the visits with Alec Baldwin takes place in the ring of a Santa Monica boxing gym. As the men circle and jab, they talk about humor, aggression, fear. Baldwin says he was mortified when he first guest starred in a Larry Sanders episode in 1993. I was scared, Baldwin says. You're an eighth degree black belt funny. That's how I feel with you in the ring, Shandling says. I'm going to allow you to hit me so hard that I don't have to work again for the next 5 years, Baldwin taunts. Finish these DVDs, Shandling growls. Baldwin was right, of course. Shandling hadn't been working much, at least not in ways that are visible to the rest of us. Which is why, on his first day of shooting Iron Man 2, he found himself reflecting on his life as he sat on a raised dais with his tie cinched tight, pretending to run a Senate hearing as the cameras rolled. I'm in front of 500 people in the Joint Chiefs, he says of the scene, in which his character, Senator Stern, pounds a gavel, trying to get Downey's Tony Stark to turn over his high-tech armored suit. And I'm thinking, oh my God, the last thing I did was the voice of a turtle. He is referring to his last acting gig, the 2006 animated movie Over the Hedge, in which he voiced a turtle named Vern. Not that Shandling has to work. He made a pile on It's Gary Shandling Show, his first series, and an even bigger fortune on The Larry Sanders Show. The complete Sanders DVD set, all 2,800 minutes of it, will be available in September. Post-Sanders, though, two back-to-back projects, the 2000 comedy What Planet Are You From? And the disastrous 2001 flop Town Country, didn't deliver on expectations. Since then, he's grown accustomed to people asking where he's been. I never used to know how to explain. Finally, I said, I travel with Daniel Day-Lewis. He says, do you have to win the Oscar for someone not to bother you about it? Daniel Day-Lewis, he goes for 6 years to learn to make shoes in Italy. Fascinating. But with me, they're going, why? What happened? I'll stop there. I've returned, obviously, to Gary Shandling and these great pieces that Amy Wallace wrote for GQ about him, about her interview and interviews with him. This one's from August of 2010. I'll revisit other things that she's written about Shandling and others, probably. I just find him a fascinating guy and so, so dang funny. This one's called The Comedian's Comedian's Comedian. It's from that. From that article. I'll link in the show notes, which I guess will be at regular.fm/60. Hopefully I mentioned the right dispatch number at the outset here. I'm not sure. Some mornings I kind of forget and worry actually that I've said it wrong when I get to this point. Sorry, having a drink of coffee. It's early. For the second morning in a row, I've gotten up at 4:30, 20 minutes before the alarm, and rested and great. Like, it basically reset for this clock and rhythm. It's kind of cool. It's 6:30 now, Austin time, so I've been up a couple hours. Worked out a little bit, very little bit. Strength is not a strength. Physical strength is not a strength. But I'm giving it a go. And so here I sit. The stuff with Shandling, we could shoot off for hours in multiple directions, actually. I really appreciate, just as a fan and as a sort of media junkie, I appreciate his taking seriously something as seemingly mundane as DVD extras. That even that, as an artist, really, he wanted to see it as a medium unto itself and to press, find the edges and kick even those edges over. It's incredibly reminiscent of McLuhan and the idea that when a new medium comes along, we simply take the content from the old medium and jam it into the new. And I'm becoming a broken record about how much I despise and hold in contempt these so-called news media these days, and the internet, at least with, you know, Mosaic and Navigator and all that, broke free in the mid-90s, and here we still sit. Go look at any of the front pages of these sites. It's just a wall of noise. There's so precious little information in there. Edward Tufte has talked a lot about the information density of different mediums and how to deliver information properly. And there's no way to look at this stuff and not think with Gatto's level of critique that these things they've had since the mid-90s. So they mean to do this. There's no excuse for this. It's not an accident. This is what it's designed to do. It's designed to confuse and be incoherent and make us all confused and incoherent and dependent. It's very sad. And so when you see these major organizations continue to do this and not look at the medium and really press for the edges, but just in a very tired, mundane, formulaic, automatic, unthinking way spew out this stuff, we have to really appreciate somebody like Gary Shandling who would do that for us. Orson Welles is famous for doing the same. Things like Citizen Kane or War of the Worlds on radio, helping us to see what these mediums can really do. And the extras on the set of DVDs are truly fantastic. It's wonderful. It's a peek into the creative process. It's almost like, what's the show called on Netflix? Chef's Table. Like they spend time and you kind of get to see into the world of the chefs and stuff. This being sort of highly produced. But with Shandling, like I guess these came out probably when there weren't podcasts yet. And he's having these, he just used it as an opportunity to have these in-depth conversations and often just shooting straight sideways. It wasn't like, it's funny coming with a guy with all the, so steeped in the talk show form. Like that's the last thing in the world Gary Shandling wanted to do is sit down at the desk and a person in a chair and I'm going to ask you these questions about yourself and what you're working on lately. It wasn't that at all. It's all over the place. But what he's trying to do is capture some of that authenticity. It's pretty great. There are great things. And for him to also just sort of allow them to take shape in the quote emptiness is really cool. That's part of the beauty of the regulars and the regulars not having any agenda or ostensible purpose. We gather on Friday mornings for many, many years, starting in 2007 or 8 or something like that. We just meet at Mozart's on Friday mornings. And with the world shut down, we haven't been meeting at Mozart's. I think they might be open again. I happened to drive by there once not too long ago, and there were people out on the deck, a lot of people out on the deck. So hopefully Mozart's is hanging in there. we meet on Zoom, and it's cool. The conversation could go anywhere or nowhere, and that's fine. All kinds of stuff happens there, but it's just sort of a covenant that we just agree to show up, and we do. I appreciate it. I'm going to try to find these DVD extras, see if they're online, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure that they are. It's also funny, somebody like Shandling talking about Daniel Day-Lewis going to Italy to make shoes for 6 years, and even he a bit self-conscious about wanting sort of the freedom to take time, and how quickly all of us to each other can just assume that this person is going to do this next or that next, and be assembling sort of our mosaic view of what they're up to, and Shandling trying to wrestle free even of any of that. Really cool stuff. And I'm remembering, like, some of my favorite moments. I think he and Janine Garofalo is really good. He and Judd Apatow, as I mentioned last time, is probably my favorite of the bunch. I think he goes back and hangs out with Scott Thompson. I'm trying to remember. I need to go. I think I own these somewhere, but I'm not sure I can get my hands on actual DVDs anymore. Where the heck are any of the DVDs that I've kept? Where are they? Who knows? We still do have a ancient PlayStation of some kind plugged in that we can play a DVD on. That's a whole other set of issues. But I'll come back to Shandling probably again tomorrow. What's interesting too, you know, they talk at that. I like how Amy Wallace mentions that what he was trying to do was simple and also complex at the same time. And so those kinds of paradoxes are interesting. And been talking lately about deliberate practice, that it's important when we're learning something to, the whole idea of deliberate practice is you're incredibly focused and you're finding the edge of your capability and tripping over that and slowing it down and repeating it and doing it again and again and again. And of course, even Gary Shandling, this sort of mad genius artist of exploding forums. I mean, the Gary Shandling show rips apart the structure of a sitcom. Larry Sanders rips apart the structure of a talk show and uses those as vehicles just to explore the human condition and be funny and insightful and vulnerable and all of this, all of that beautiful stuff. At the same time, as read previously in his personal story, he's in college in Arizona and is writing jokes, and he has the temerity, the bravery to drive 2 hours to a George Carlin show and hand him 20 pages of jokes. And Carlin asks him to come back the next night and gives him feedback and gives him positive feedback. Hey, there's something good on every page. If you want to pursue this, I think you should. So simple and complex at the same time. That Gary Shandling likes to be open, allow the emptiness, explore life. And at the same time, this is an incredibly disciplined individual who is taking the swings and is deliberately practicing the craft. So there's a little bit of both at the same time. It's both and, not neither or, for sure, all over the place here. And I find that interesting. So they contradict each other or are at odds with each other, this idea of deliberate practice and focusing on one thing versus being open and allowing things just to kind of unfold there's space for both. We can do both. We have to do both. But as I got up early this morning, it was fun. I planned on going somewhere else, but I just wanted to dive back and read a little bit more about Shanling, and I'm going to go probably down the rabbit hole tonight, the next few nights, watching some of the old interviews, and there's a good documentary about him and a lot of stuff. Really appreciate the guy. Another thing I would say, by the way, is it does remind me of his approach to DVD extras, reminds him and wanting to map out what's possible in the forum. If you just think about the Beatles, something as huge and obvious as the Beatles, and they were, you know, before my time, slightly before my time. By the time I'm aware of music at all, in fact, maybe before I was born, I don't even remember the timing, but maybe before I was born, they're over. They're no longer a band. So they're done. So everything that they created to me is just a set. The box set is done. And I didn't have the experience of being alive and slowly over time in your own personal timeline, the releases. So one record flowing into the next and what that means and whatever else is going on at the time and all this context that you hear about of, you know, the Beach Boys are working so hard on Pet Sounds and then Sgt. Pepper's comes out and changes everything. All that context is so hard to piece back together if it predates you. But we can look at the albums themselves. And again, it's technology that comes along and changes, and it takes artists to inject tracer ink through this new system so we can all actually see it for the first time. And if you just look at their album covers, we talk about this around Amplifier quite a bit. If you just look at their album covers, you've got from the White Album to Sgt. Pepper's, and Sgt. Pepper's is like this concept album. I'm not saying they invented the idea of a concept album, but you had a period of time where there were singles and B-sides and this sort of thing. And then a record can now hold 45 minutes or so, 30 minutes aside, something like that. And do you just stack up a bunch of singles and, you know, filler? Or as an artist, do you say, you know what? This is a thing unto itself. And to really, even the liner notes in every single element here, we can creatively manipulate to engender an effect out in the audience and who knows what. And so there's like a wonderful museum style exhibit to be had with just the Beatles albums covers alone. And so where all of us are at all times, like the mundane thing, just the apps on your phone, and what is a book these days? You know, we still have books, printed books, we have audiobooks. There's some talk of like supplemental books coming along and ebooks that where they just truly really come alive. But I think there's so much creative opportunity still in front of us for the artists and the entrepreneurs of who are alive right now. There is just so much. There's no lid on this economy. There isn't. It can often feel like all the big companies that are leveraging some new technology, they're all built. They're already in existence. You can't possibly make headway. And I just don't believe it. I don't think that'll ever be the case. And it's fun, isn't it, to ever happen upon somebody, an entrepreneurial venture or some sort of creative project that gives you that snap of realization, like, wait a minute, what are they really doing here? They're really up to something here, and to go figure it out. So I find channeling incredibly inspiring in that regard and in along several other dimensions, obviously. Y'all have a great day, and I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks.